Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. We are super excited to have you joining us here today for another phenomenal show. And let me tell you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And I know that the three guests that we have lined up for you today, they're going to do just that for you. So let me tell you about the show and who we have joining us. Some of our guests are already hanging out in the virtual green room, so I know they're enjoying some virtual snacks right about now. So we're going to be chatting it up in our first segment with a dynamic young lady. She's a registered nurse. She's a life coach. She's a three-time international best-selling author. She's a publisher. I'm telling you what, the list goes on and on. She's here today to talk to us about hashtag love. A new generation of hope. We're excited to have Anita Sucheski in the virtual studio with us. She's going to be coming right up to the mic. And then in our second segment, we're excited to have Prophet Marquez Griffin. He's joining us. Listen, he has an album out, and his hope is that he can help Christians and non-Christians get past emotional scars, emotional wounds, or any of those types of setbacks. And so we're going to be talking to him, powerful, powerful speaker there. And then we're going to wrap up the third segment, Richmond's own, right here from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. We're going to be chatting it up with Miracle Shea. She has an inspiring story, an inspiring testimony, let me say it that way. And I'm telling you what, you don't want to miss it. So this is what I need you to do. I need you to jump on Twitter. Tell them what you're listening to. I know you're following me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Certainly check me out on Facebook. Connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. Let them know what you're listening to. Welcome to all those that are listening in on the phone lines and those that are hanging out in the chat room. Thank you so much. All right. So we're ready to move right on in to talk about hashtag love, a new generation of hope. Again, this dynamic young lady, life coach, speaker, you know, certainly I could say a whole lot about Anita, but I'm just going to let you meet her right now, bringing her up to the mic. Anita, welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Hi, Charvette. Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, you're quite welcome. You're quite welcome. So listen, you know, I mentioned a little bit about you, but certainly tell our listeners how the writing bug bit you.
Oh, the writing bug. Oh, boy. Well, first of all, I'll just tell you a little bit about who I am as well as you were just asking. I am a wife. I am a mommy. I am a daughter. I'm a sister. And I'm a friend. And most recently became a publisher. And the writing bug hit me because of my love for people. I love to encourage people and inspire them. As a registered nurse for over 10 years, I have witnessed so many people who have never fulfilled their dreams, and they've been diagnosed with so many horrible things that they couldn't fulfill those dreams. And it broke my heart that I could not help them. And so I started exploring writing myself and expressing the things that I have gone through in my life that have been painful and discouraging. I channeled it into my writing and expressed my emotions that way, in the form of inspirational writing to inspire myself and help those around me. And in doing so, it naturally led to me helping others to bring out their passion in their writing.
Wonderful. And so certainly you have other published work. So Living Without Limitations. Wow. Tell us about that one.
Living Without Limitations began as a series that started out with Living Without Limitations, 30 Mentors to Rock Your World. And that drew upon my years of mentoring as a nurse and going on to receive my certification as a life coach. Through my training, I decided that, you know, this is such a beautiful profession because of the whole purpose, the core life coach, is to help people to move forward in such an inspiring and empowered way and not to worry about anything that's happened in the past. We don't have to dig up the things in the past and live in that trauma anymore. We can set goals that'll propel us further ahead than we can even imagine. And that's what a life coach does. So that was where that book, the passion and vision from that book, came from. The second book, and actually that book became an international bestseller on the day that it was launched on December 12th, 2013.
Oh,
and
wow.
The second book, thank you, and the second book, I drew upon my own personal experiences and stories that I've heard other people shared with me, living through their own trauma and painful life experiences. And I compiled a book sharing where my writers and myself shared our journeys and shared the things that we have walked through, but not so much focusing on the trauma. We actually wanted to help the readers to understand that it doesn't matter what you've gone through or what you're going through, you can survive it and you can get through it, because if we did it, so can you. And so those were the two books with the Living Without Limitations series that I wanted to capture about my whole vision for the name of my company. Now, those are the two initial books. There will be more books in the future. The third one, called #love, most recently was my first book that I actually published as a publisher. And I'm so pleased with that one because it truly is a God-inspired book, because it's all about love. It's
yeah.
all about the three aspects of love. Yes, yes.
Wonderful. And right at the beginning of the description of a #love, a new generation of hope, you know, the sentence says, we all need love. And so
yes.
do you find that there are people, why do we struggle with love? Why is it seems to be, why does it seem to be a struggle for some?
Mm-hmm. In my experience, Charvette, I feel a lot of people live under self-condemnation. Whether it's self-inflicted or whether it's been judged upon them by others. And so that's where we, in our human nature, struggle if we're good enough or if we're deserving of love or if we can even manage to give love away if we can't, if we don't feel it. Or, you know, we set high expectations and we get let down. And so the intention of this book is to help bring the awareness that, you know, it all begins with us. It all begins
yes.
within our own heart. Yes, yes.
Wonderful. And I love that I'm hanging out on Amazon. I like to do that during the show and see what customers are saying and what the reviews are saying. And so there's
mm-hmm.
one customer that wrote a review that says, our experiences and trials help define who we are and who we are meant to be and to serve. And then in one of the
yes.
stories, Lauren's story is a beautiful one of how a shift in perspective can completely change your inner and outer world. And so I love that. And this is a compilation. So there are a lot of authors that teamed up with you on this project. So that person referenced Lauren's story. So
mm-hmm.
how many total authors have contributed to this book?
Well, including myself, there's 21 of us contributing to the book. So beautiful stories. And all the stories are a reflection of the three themes of love. They're either in the category of love for self, which is speaking from a heart of gratitude, or love for others, which is your inner circle relationships, or love for the greater good, understanding how these individuals do the things they do to empower and bless others outside of their immediate family connections or friend connections.
Wonderful. So how did you go about getting 20 other people to write about love?
Oh, you know what? How did I go about getting them to come in? You know, I believe that love is such an attracting force that it was the individuals that came into this book they were it was the right time and in their life that they were ready to share the stories that they did, because they are very powerful healing stories that are personal that they've shared with the world. So all I can say, it was the right timing. God brought the right people in, and it's just a beautiful book.
Wonderful. So tell listeners how they can pick up a copy.
Sure. You can get a copy on, it's available on all the Amazon sites, like Kindle version, and also on paperback we're available. So I believe it's populating all the Amazon sites internationally as we speak.
Wow. All right. As we speak. And don't you just love the internet? I mean, literally, you can be global. We used to say, oh, I'm international, I'm global, but really, literally, the internet makes your product and your message, more importantly, global.
Absolutely. It brings us all closer together like a close-knit family.
Like a close-knit family. Wonderful. And so as your work as a registered nurse, and that profession is dear to me because my mom is a registered nurse, actually just about to retire. And what have you seen just in that field? You mentioned a little bit about how you see people go through challenges and what have you, and perhaps they didn't reach the goals that they thought they would reach in life and et cetera. What has the impact of your profession been on really all of your writing and all of your speaking engagements and all of that?
My signature speech is based on, are you really living your life without limitations? Are you truly living up to what life has presented before you? Can you leave this world today and not have any regrets?
Yeah, and you know what, I saw a quote one time, someone did a study or a test, and they did a survey of young people, about 21, 22, and they asked them what their regrets were. And then they did the same survey with older generation in their 60s and asked what their regrets were. And so the younger people regretted things they had done. You know, maybe they drank a little too much or did a little something crazy in college or whatever. But the older crowd, with the same survey, they regretted things they didn't do, things didn't accomplish. Yeah, that's all of that. Yeah, awesome.
It's awesome how you looked at the comparison, because the reality is that every day, Charvette, we have a new, God has given us a new day to make a new beginning, to do something different, to change. It may be, you know, we're not perfect people, right? We all mess up. And so the next day is a new opportunity. It's a new gift to do better, right? And we could truly make that the best day to live without limitations. We could let go of things that people have spoken about us or how we have thought about ourselves. And we can choose to live beyond all those things, beyond all those labels.
Choose to live beyond. Well said, well said. Anita, how can people connect with you on Facebook, Twitter, all those good places?
Oh, yes. I'm available on all the social media sites, as you can see. I'm available. My personal email is asucheski@hotmail.ca. I am on Facebook. My personal page is called Anita Sucheski. My fan page is called Anita Sucheski, Living Without Limitations. I'm also accessible on the book pages that I've created and compiled, which are called The Living Without Limitations, 30 Mentors to Rock Your World, Living Without Limitations, 30 Stories to Heal Your World, and #Love, A New Generation of Hope.
All right. There are all the connection points, listeners. And I peeked on your Twitter and saw you were working on a workshop, a new workshop you're going to put together?
Yes. This is a new venture. New doors are opening. I'm always open to new excitements and helping others to live their life without limitations. So I'm going to be working with young people within the community, helping them to set the goals, to empower them to live a life without limitations, specifically focusing on confidence and self-esteem, which is something that both young men and women struggle with.
Definitely, and don't you think that that is why peer pressure has been is such a pulling force, because of those esteem issues?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. From the time I was a young person, you know, peer pressure is one of the number one driving forces that causes us to step into our destiny or step back. We all have to find what our purpose is within ourselves, right, to propel us to move forward, or we just stand back in the crowd instead of stepping into our God-given purpose.
Oh, that is good. You all need to tweet Anita on that. Don't step back from your purpose. Step into it. Step in, step in. Wonderful, wonderful. Anita, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. Can you tell us what continues to motivate you?
My children motivate me. When I see young people, I dedicated the book, #love, Hope for New Generations, to all the young people around the world, because they are the hope of the next generation. This world needs to have more love. We need to have more acceptance of one another. What motivates me is every day that I see that people are trying and making an effort to live with love for one another and acceptance, and to just appreciate the life that they have.
All right. Appreciate the life. Live a life of gratitude. We're certainly moving into the Thanksgiving season, and definitely it's a heightened awareness, I think, about for all of us to appreciate what we have in life and to have gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. Well, listeners, I think you need to put your hands together right now. Anita Krzyzewski, thank you so much for stopping by, and we have tweeted and tagged you in Facebook, so those are easy connection points. And also, if you're on our main website listening, charvette.com, there's information there. Well, Anita, thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, thank you, Charvette, and happy Thanksgiving week to you.
Oh, you as well. All right, wonderful. Listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back to our second segment. Yes, Prophet Marquez Griffin is hanging out in the virtual green room, and I'm telling you what, you don't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1. Go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2. Once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3. Get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123jobzone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
Hi, Charvette. I want to leave a quick business highlight on Project Give, sponsored by Candace Creedle, Jazzeray Mitchell, Music Theory Studios, and Vincent Patrice. We are excited about giving back to the Hampton Roads community this holiday season via the first annual Project Give Toy Drive, supporting the Hearst Shelter of Portsmouth, Virginia, and the entire Southeastern Virginia Boys and Girls Club. Our mission is to raise 250 toys for children, tweens, and teens to receive holiday presents regardless of finance, health issues, or unforeseen circumstances for the 2014 season. Our age range is 1 year old to 17 years old, and our goal is to inspire the community to give back in a big way. Our affiliate drop-off locations are IT Magazine, Bainbridge Hampton Road Crossing, Big Dreams Entertainment, Curvaceous Boutique, Kingsport Middle School, and New Hope Baptist Church. Help us to give back in a big way this holiday season by making donations at GoFundMe.com/F as in Frank, R as in Robert, T as in Tom, P as in Paul, W as in William, C as in Charlie, or by dropping off a toy at one of our affiliate locations. If you have any questions, please call 757-967-7408. Thank you for supporting Project Give Toy Drive. Have a blessed day.
Virtual book tours is one of the best ways to get your book noticed by potentially thousands of new readers. FAB Virtual Tours staff will walk you through the process of embarking on a virtual tour for your book, business, music, and or ministry, providing simple but yet effective strategies for getting your product and your message in front of thousands. Sign up for a free consultation. www.latboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
Again, this is your girl, Charvette Mitchell. Yes, broadcasted from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. All right, we're moving on into our second segment. I'm going to the virtual green room to bring our guest on. I know that he has been enjoying some virtual snacks while he's been in the virtual green room. Yes. Well, we are excited to have hanging out with us. I mean, his busy schedule. I'm just shocked we got these few minutes to feature him on the show, Prophet Marquez Griffin. Welcome all the way from Texas, here to talk to us about emotional warfare and just wonderful things. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Charvette. I'm so glad to be here with you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you are quite welcome. So listen, before we jump into emotional warfare, certainly share with our listeners a little bit about your background and how ministry started for you.
Ministry started for me, Charvette, years ago in 2002, I would say. Before that, I had a record deal. I was a rapper with one of Master P's best friends, and I was on his label. He died of cancer. Once he died of cancer, gave my life to the Lord, God called me to the ministry in 2002. And I've been going all the way with God ever since. No looking back.
Wow, no looking back, no going back. And so you have had the opportunity certainly to speak, to mentor, to coach.
Yes.
What are your passion areas? What do you normally mentor on or coach on?
One of my most passionate areas is pain, people being scarred and hurt, setbacks. A lot of people have a hard time getting past what I call like a trauma experience.
Mm-hmm.
The death of the loved one, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, all these things. And God has really helped me because I've experienced those things. I've experienced being molested. I experienced my mom and dad on drugs and being abandoned by my parents. And I had a lot of that in my life, and God walked me through those stages. And so that's where I have the most passion to help people get past those. And so many people that I've got an opportunity to minister to has been set free. And so I'm happy and I'm glad that God has given me the grace to minister in that area.
Wow. And you know, kudos to you for being transparent and being open to talk about things that you got through, you overcame, so that you can help pull somebody else out.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you find that once people have someone that they can talk to or someone's story that they can connect with, that it is easier for them to come up and come out and get over their situations?
Yes. I have found that's the key. Especially with, like, verbal abuse and any kind of other abuse. People
mm-hmm.
feel so afraid to share it, and sometimes they are afraid to acknowledge it. When you have someone else who will not criticize them, who will not judge them, who will not point the finger and say, well, you are the reason this happened. Once they connect with someone like that, they're open to share what actually happened and what took place, and then the healing begins. They begin to heal at that very moment when they acknowledge what happened and that they embrace, wait a minute, this happened to me. And what I do when I begin to talk with them, I allow the Holy Spirit to give me wisdom and insight, and I help them to see that they are not the victim, but they have the victory.
Wow. And so changing that mentality, that mindset, of the victim mindset into the victor mindset. And if there's someone listening who's in that spot, they're like, you know what, I feel like I'm the victim. I was hurt by this situation. This hurt me. Yes. The other person is wrong. What are a couple things that you say or recommend for them to help them come up and kind of come around the corner?
It's not their fault that this happened. It's not their fault. That's what I always tell people, to help them to realize it's not your fault. If I can be transparent and give an example, just recently in 2012, my son passed away. He was 3 months old. 3 months old, Chevette. I'm in the ministry. I'm traveling with my pastor, Dr. Murdoch, Mike Murdoch. I'm teaching. I'm a manager. I'm a husband. I'm all these things, pursuing God, giving God my all. And my son just passed away. And you know, one of the biggest things was on my mind that it was my fault. But it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. And that's what I tell people. It's not your fault when these things happen. But God gives us the grace to get through it, because so many times, Chevette, people think it's their fault that they went through it. So I tell them, it's not your fault. Number two, I tell them, God is with you. God is with you.
Yeah.
He's going to help you through this. Talking about it is a start. Acknowledging it is a start. But I always encourage them, no matter how you feel, no matter how bad you feel, believe and know that God is with you. He's going to help you through it.
My God. So, you know, this is amazing that you would have a loss of a son of 3 years old, but then you are able now to turn around. 3 months, excuse me.
He was three months old.
And you were able to turn around and help others that are in some type of grief, because you could have very easily just went under a rock, said anything, and just said, I'm going to grieve and handle this by myself. But you're being open to say, I want to help someone else out. And there are a lot of areas of grief that people go through. Do you agree? Even a breakup is almost a grieving situation, right?
Yes, I agree with you totally.
Wow. Awesome. If you just tuned in, hey there, you're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we're talking to Prophet Marquez Griffin, and I'm just excited to have him here. Just sharing a little bit about his background. We're getting ready to talk right now about emotional warfare. So tell us about this. You went back to your Christian rapper roots, your rapping roots this one. So tell us about that.
Well, I went back to the rap because I knew it would really help a lot of people. Rap is popular, and I love rapping. So God really gave me a creative idea called emotional warfare, where I can talk about emotional pain in a fun way to help people get through. And I wrote a song about my son called I Wish. And that song inspired me so much, and I want to share this. I wrote that song with the intention to talk about it with my wife, because it was hard for me and her to really discuss what happened. And I was recording the song, Chevette, because God led me to. And before the song was finished, I said, baby, come in the room. I want you to hear this. And when she heard it, she broke and cried and began to really open up about what happened. And she sung on the song. And that song has impacted hundreds of people, so many people so far. So this whole album was very inspirational. It is inspirational. And I'm telling you, it's a great album. The whole entire album will bless people.
Wow, emotional warfare. So how did you come up with that title?
I came up with the title because when we are saved, called believers and followers of God, we face a struggle, and that struggle is between our flesh and what the Spirit of God wants to do. In Galatians 5:17, it talks about that for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. So I came up with a creative idea to explain Galatians 5:17, and that's what emotional warfare is all about. When my son passed, I went to fall back, quit the ministry. That was my flesh. But my spirit said, hold on to God. There was another song on the album called Made for Warfare. That arises from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual host of wickedness in high places. I said, you know what? I'm going to write a song called Made for Warfare in a very fun, creative way, explaining Ephesians 6 and 12. So that's where the whole album come from, is that concept of my flesh want to do this, but because the Spirit of God dwells in me, my spirit desires to go right.
My goodness. So how have people reacted to this Christian rap? So you know rap, period, has one connotation, one thing that comes to people's minds. And so you sound like a old school preacher. So it's like, okay, how are people reconciling this person I see and then this presentation style of music? How are you reconciling that or explaining that to people?
Oh, so you know how to ask the right questions. That's what everybody's been talking about. That's what everybody's been talking about. You know, I have some videos on YouTube and my songs, and here's the feedback I've been getting. They said, Prophet, you can rap, man. You're smooth. We can hear every word you're saying. That was like other rap. They said other rap we listen to, we hear the beat, but we don't know what they're saying. And so God gave me in a very creative presentation so people can receive it. And a lot of people have been telling me that my music and my words are so clear, that they're so clear. They love the songs. And a lot of people have been buying the album. I've been getting a great response in Georgia, great response in Texas. So all over, people are really shocked. They're really amazed that you can do it differently. You don't have to do it the way everybody else do it. So it has encouraged a lot of people. And my wife, she don't really listen to rap, but she loves my rap because she hear what I'm saying.
Yeah. Wow.
She hears what I'm saying.
She hears what you're saying. Emotional warfare. Where can listeners pick it up?
They can pick it up on iTunes. They can pick it up on Amazon, the Google Play Store, anywhere that digital music is sold, you can download it. They can also purchase it from my website, the hard copy. They can go to thepainremover.com and they can order it there.
Wow, and that's interesting because that's your handle on Twitter as well.
Yes, the Pain Remover, the Pain Remover.
Wow, wonderful, and you know, because there are a lot of people in pain. A lot of situations have pained people, and people deal with pain in different formats and in different fashions. So you sound like you're on a mission to help people get over and get relief from pain.
That, Shavette, that is so true. This is what I said. This is what I say. God is not a God of Sunday morning. He is the God of every morning.
Yeah.
And I just made up my mind, if I'm hurting, I'm hurting. And I have a God that heals. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to act like I have it all together. And there's so much freedom in that. And so many people are afraid to have that freedom. Shavette, would you believe when my son passed away, others around me, because they didn't know how to handle that, they wanted me to suppress that. They wanted me to say, oh, God will give you another baby. Get over that. But God did give me two other children. I have a daughter by the name of Hannah, and I have a son now named Joshua.
Wow.
But here's the awesome thing about it. I didn't have to pretend. I was open about where I was, and that's my mission today, to help people. To say, if you're hurting, you're hurting. Acknowledge that. You don't have to go in a pity party, but know that God wants you to get past it. And it takes time. Some people get healed instantly. Some people get healed in a month, a year, but He's still God.
He's still God. He's still God. And what do you say, what advice do you give to people? Because sometimes when there is loss of that nature or magnitude, people just don't know what to say. You know, they just don't even know what to say. What do you recommend to people that are listening and maybe dealing with people that have experienced loss and to what they should say and how they should act? Any tips?
I would say, number one, like I just said, acknowledge what you're going through. Have that freedom. You know, the Bible tells us to confess our faults one to another and pray for one another and encourage one another. Just be honest. Number two, once you be honest, start speaking the word of God. Say things that like this. When I'm weak, God is strong. When I'm weak, God is strong. Say words like, I'm more than a conqueror. I can get through this. Start speaking over your life positive things. One of the things that I spoke over my life is that God was going to give me another son and that God wasn't punishing me. So right. I encourage people to acknowledge it, but once they acknowledge it, start speaking what God is saying. No weapon formed against you shall prosper.
Well, and nothing can come up and over the word, so you always got to put the word on it. You got to put the word on. You got to put the word on it.
You have to put the word on.
So you did mention that your pastor is Pastor Mike Murdoch, who's certainly profound, prolific. How long have you been under his ministry?
6 years.
Wow.
6 years, been on staff 3 years.
Awesome. So what is that experience like working in ministry on that level?
It's amazing. I learned so much. It's because of the wisdom mount of God placed on Dr. Murdoch and his ministry that helped me market and produce this type of album. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:4-7 that wisdom is what? The principal thing. And God gave me the insight and the wisdom how to do this. So it's an awesome experience to be there with Dr. Murdoch, travel with Dr. Murdoch, participate in Dr. Murdoch's TV programs. I've learned so much being amongst a man of greatness.
Wow. Big shout out to him. Big shout out to him and all the rest of the staff, and to your family and all that good stuff. So what else do you have cooking up down the pipeline? Anything else, any events you want to shout out or that you're putting together?
Yes, I'm putting together right now a video shoot for several of my songs on emotional warfare. I'm talking to directors now. We're in the process. People are anticipating the video. Everywhere I go, people ask me, man, when the video is coming out? So real soon, we're just trying to decide where we're going to shoot the video, if it's going to be in Dallas, et cetera. And also after that, I'm planning to release a book called Emotional Warfare along with this CD. So people have been asking about it. I want to read the book. So we have the book Emotional Warfare and the video shoot coming up real soon.
All right. Well, we will keep our eyes out for that. And we're going to actually play a little bit later on the show. We're going to play I Wish. So we're gonna let listeners hear that. But tell them one more time how they can connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and also purchase your project.
Thank you so much for that. Please, on Twitter, I am the Pain Remover. It spells just how it sounds, the Pain Remover. Facebook is Prophet Marquez. Please visit my website, thepainremover.com. I have so much information, blogs, videos, ministry training, everything you need, resources, books, e-books, CDs. Go to thepainremover.com and sign up for my emailing list, because I send out every week a devotional, the inspirational devotional through email every single week. So you definitely want to be a part of it.
All right. You want to grab it. And my last question for you, the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And what continues to motivate you?
What continues to motivate me is God. God inspires me. God inspires me. Having a relationship with him gives me hope. It helps me to know no matter what I go through, I can overcome it, I can get up, and I can inspire others. So my relationship with God inspires me to keep going.
All right. Wonderful. Well said. Well said. Well, we're glad again that we had a chance to feature you on the show, and we'll just keep our eye out for the book and for the video.
Thank you so much, Charvette. So glad to be here. Excited about it.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right, listeners, we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our third segment, Miracle Shay. I'm telling you, she has a testimony that you want to hear. Don't move that dial. Don't touch that station. We say hey to all those that are hanging out on the phone lines. We see you, those that are in the chat room. We see you as well. We're going to be right back right after this.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answer no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user-friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us, it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123 Job Zone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day by LaTanya Boyd consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought. 31 inspirational quotes to jumpstart your day. Available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back again. OMG. We are moving right on into our next segment with Miracle Shay. Listen, she's been hanging out in the virtual green room. I'm bringing her up to the mic. I am bringing her up to the mic, but I'm telling you what, we kicked off the show with Anita Sucheski. Make sure you check out her information. Make sure you check out her book. Then we move right on in with our second segment with Prophet Marquez Griffin. Oh my goodness, empowerment there. Anyone with any kind of loss, I'm telling you what, he gave you some strength through his words. And now we're moving in to our third segment with Miracle Shay, a testimony that you don't want to miss. So we're going to the green room, bringing her up to the mic. Miracle Shay, welcome.
Thank you. I'm doing great. I just motivate because this is in spite of anything.
Glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm honored that you presented me with the opportunity.
Wonderful. So let's tell our listeners, I'm just going to let you share, you know, from your heart what you want the listeners to know just about your life and about your testimony.
Okay. I will start with my government name is Lachey Henry, but as many of you know, I have a Facebook name. And to start with my testimony, I begin with May the 27th of 2005 was the day that I recognized my name would never be the same. The reason why I state that my name would never be the same is because, once again, Lachey Henry was my government name. But on that particular day, God began to change my name from Lachey Henry to Miracle Shay. On May the 27th of 2005, I was so content with still being part of the world and still so stuck in the world. I was traveling. That was a weekend. I was down in Myrtle Beach at Bike Week in South Carolina. And that was my third year going. of course, at that time in my life, I believe my life was my own, and everything. I'm just being real about the situation and who I was back then. I have no shame in testifying who I believe that the world, what I believed back then. I believe that the world really involved around me. I believe that everything, you know, literally just because I had a great job and I had, I was young at the age of 22. I had a house built from ground up and all of this, that, and the other. So literally I was believing that I was on top of the world and, you know, all this materialistic things and everything. You know, my life was literally my own. I knew of God and, you know, as many of us often do or whatever, and I'm not ashamed to admit it or whatever, we only pray and ask and speak the name of God when we are in need of things and when we want things. And so that was my life back then. And so that's what happened. So back then, and that was my second day down there. But I remember, if I don't remember anything else, 2 days before I left to go on the trip, and I was visiting my grandmother and my daughter, who had my daughter at that time was 4 years old. And my grandmother said, "Che, I don't know why you're going. Tomorrow's not promised to you." And I know many of you know and have heard that from your elders, your grandparents, or whoever. And I literally, you know, like I said, believe the world involved around me. I remember holding my hand up in a disrespectful way and telling her, once again, like I said, I believe the world involved around me, and telling her, "I'll see you when I get back." But to be more straightforward with the 27th, of May the 27th of 2005, I went and decided to go ahead and, you know, bike week or whatever, of course. You know, you're riding with different people or whatever, and, you know, you're doing a little whatever. You know, everybody does different things, but I can only speak for myself. I only go down there just because I love bike riding, and I was into motorcycles and clubs and stuff like that. So I decided to get on the back of a motorcycle with a gentleman I had no idea about. I knew nothing. I still, back then, I didn't even really know his name or anything about him. And so, and then also because, you know, I was young and dumb, and I'm just going to say it, I decided not to wear a helmet also still because I believed the world involved around me. I took life for granted. I never believed anything was ever going to happen to me. I was on the back of the motorcycle, and from the reports, because I don't remember what happened. I had to go through, you know, everything with the lawyer and all this other stuff, and to be straightforward with the accident or whatever, the gentleman was driving 70. They got clocked him 70 and a 35, and a young lady decided not to stop at a stop sign, and they collided head on. They estimated I flipped 20 feet up in the air, coming head first on pavement with no helmet on. He flipped over the mini SUV. What they said is that he was moving, he was breathing, he was doing way better than me. However, I was considered DOA on the scene of arrival, because can you imagine somebody flipping 20 feet up in the air, coming head first with no helmet on, instantly hitting pavement head first with no protection at 70 miles per hour or greater, hitting head first. And so therefore, you know, everything was literally shut down only for them to transport us to the nearest hospital. Of course, they were working on him. They were not doing anything for me. A guardian angel, my phone flew off, and she went through my phone and saw the word mom, only for her to call my mom and to let my mom know that there was no life in me, that they couldn't do anything for me, and she didn't know what to do. My mom said she was just crying and crying, and it took her a while to calm her down to get any information out of her, only for her to be able to tell her to look through my phone and call my cousin, Shante, who I was down there with or whatever, but she was on a motorcycle ahead of us, and therefore to get her in contact with her. Only my mom lives like probably because the accident was in South Carolina. My mom lives about 10 hours away from South Carolina, so she received another call from the hospital that she had to come and to identify my body and prepare for funeral arrangements. And from that point, I'm not sure how long I was out, that she, from that point, my body was resting. During the part my body was resting, it was a lady, I'm not sure of her position, that was cleaning up other bodies, that she heard someone gasping for air and saw the cover over top of my mouth moving. And from that point, she immediately sent me to the emergency operating table. And at that point, the doctors already knew that I had arrived DOA. And at that point, they started working on me, but the enemy declared war against me again. He was determined that I was not going to make it. I was not going to be here. And so, therefore, my lungs completely collapsed, all of them. And so, therefore, it took me out again, and therefore the doctors refused to continue to work on me. But God had a guardian angel. There was a nurse that still believed that there was something greater in me, that there was still life within me, and she continued to work on me all by herself in order to stabilize me enough, just enough, to struggle to be able to call and have me medevaced to the nearest trauma center. Gracefully, I was only 3 hours away from the second top trauma center, which was called MUSC. And even during the flight there, the enemy was still determined that it was over for me. But God said, no, not this one. I have work for her to do. And still, he took me out, but it was not over. God said it was not over. In spite of all of that, once I got to MUSC, that there was nobody working on me. There was nobody standing over me. That it was spoken that out of nowhere, I just start gasping for air. And then from that very point, that is when my struggle even more began, but God had me covered. That for 2.5 months, I was at MUSC, an ICU, partially paralyzed, on a ventilator, and just struggling for life because I was 1 inch from being brain dead because of the fact I did not have a helmet on. And, you know, being brain dead and having an injury to your brain, which is the ultimate thing for your whole body that operates your whole body, every single day because I had a child, someone had to be there for. My mother took care of her and had to be there for her. So, therefore, she couldn't really physically be with me there every day, but she would get a call just about every day from the doctor saying, I was not going to make it. I was not going to be here. The possibilities of me making it were slim to zero, that if I did make it, that I was going to be in the worst vegetative state there was, and that if she kept me here, it was only for her own personal good, and that, you know, through it all, everything would have been about herself. But in spite of that all, I have now, back then, I went through 29 traumatic surgeries in just 1 month, from the very crown of my head to the sole of my feet, just to get through, just to make it by and by, because they said even if I came out, I would never be able to walk. I would never be able to talk. I would never be able to lift up my hands. I would never be able to hear. I would never, once again, never be able to do nothing. Out of 50 or more surgeons, not because I reference now God, who is the healer of all healers. He's the top earthly surgeon of all. We have to remember that. But back then, I wasn't where I'm at today because, first and foremost, I didn't study to show thyself approved. I always relied, even though I was forced to go to church, I relied on the man's words coming out of man's mouth. But I didn't study behind man to be able to build my own faith and belief. So, therefore, I was always doing this process in the beginning. I was not there. That's when depression came and everything. I was lacking so much knowledge, and I was lacking, and I was, you know, everybody wanted to speak God during my hospital period. And when I got transferred up here to a rehab in Richmond, Virginia, and they want to come in the room and visit me, and they want to lay hands on me, and they want to do all this, that, and the other, And I didn't understand. I was getting frustrated, and they just want to speak God. God is this, and God is that. I was angry, And I know that you're not supposed to say it, but I'm just being mm-hmm. real about the situation because yeah. I can't lie, you know. I have just had my mission that God has called me to do is just to be real about the situation, to help the people that are out here struggling and trying to get where they need to get to, that you have somebody out here that was just where you're at right now, that's suffering, that has been where you're at, and that's struggling, trying to reach God and to understand that, you know, I was angry. They said you're not supposed to question God. Why? I understand what they're saying, but if you don't understand and you have lack of knowledge, that's where I was at. I had lack of knowledge. Why? Because it says, In Hosea 4:6, it says the cause of man's problem is lack of knowledge. It does not stem from a shortage of information, but rather from rejection of information, because I never picked up the book myself. I was responsible myself. But many times we point fingers and blame everybody else but ourselves. And so, therefore, when the people would come in there, the pastors, the ministers, I have many in my family, I have many that, you know, are in churches that came to support me and do all of that, lay hands, anoint me, and all everything, you know, all of that. But yeah. until you believe yourself, all of that is like rejection, because you have to have a surface yourself. You have to have belief yourself. Until you establish that with Christ, it's like, you know, only a little seed that doesn't develop, you know, just like, you know, it's similar to like a flower. You can go and buy the seeds, but until you continue to add water to them, it's not going to fully develop. Amen? So Amen. That's just like a person. So until that person continues to read, to study, to show thyself approved, it can't develop. You can constantly preach and teach to the person, but until they adapt to them, you know, they adapt it themselves, it's not going to grow. So that's just like all of the everything that's going on in the world. You can preach and teach until you're blue in the face and wonder why that the altar is filling up every Sunday after Sunday and you're doing this, that, and the other, but it's not going to work until you're not responsible for the person unless you're soul searching or you sit down and spend time with them and to figure out why they're not growing. And, you know, so it's just basically that's what happened in a part of my life until I went through it so much. And even after God did all of that and brought me all out of all of that, yeah. until I realized I needed him myself and I couldn't make it off of anybody else's belief. And I was just so fed up, and I was just so angry. And then even after God, you know, revived me and delivered me like never before, it says nothing is impossible, as I testified. If he raised me up from the dead, that nobody else could do, no doctor could do. After 50 or more surgeons never spoke the word possible. They never spoke the word of any possibility. Everyone spoke never. No one gave any doubt in their mind that I was going to wake up or rise up out of any situation. No one.
My God.
And out of three different states, three orthopedic doctors said I would never walk, never. And the first time I heard that at the age of 24, that was the most depressing thing in my life. And so when I got sent home to my mother, can you imagine a 24-year-old who was still struggling and part of the world who used to, you know, I wasn't a bad person, but I loved right. to dance. And so that was so hurtful, and I'm coming out of something my mother didn't even explain to me, you know, what had happened or whatever. And they told me the gentleman I was riding with that he was at home. So imagine that. So I'm thinking he's at home in his house while I'm suffering, and then they want to talk about a God. And so I'm angry. I'm extremely angry. And they want to say God can heal and God can do this. So why am I here in this hospital? Why can't I walk? And y'all want to say God can heal and deliver, and this man is at home and I'm suffering, and I'm not going to, and the doctor said I'll never be able to walk. Oh, my God, and I couldn't bathe myself. I couldn't feed myself, and I was going to have to struggle my life like this. I didn't know what God was going to be able to do. And so, therefore, I went and decided to try to commit suicide. And this is, I know we have some listeners, God is speaking to me, that is on the verge right now, to know that, you know, it's not over yet. God is able to put whatever you're doing or however you're trying to put it down, because if God did it for me, he can do it for you. Because I tried numerous times. I tried overdosing on medications, pain medications. I tried every 4 hours taking, like, it was like pain medications like morphine, and I was trying to take, it was some other medications I was trying to take, but
right.
God spared my life. I should have been dead and gone after the first dose, but for 6 months I was just doing it, and God still spared me, and I was angry because I should have been gone. I said, why am I still here?
My God.
I didn't understand that I had a calling upon my life. I didn't understand that I had a purpose to do what I'm doing today and what I'm yet called to do. That he kept me here so that I can help bring souls unto him, to let you know that you have a purpose, no matter what anybody else says, no matter what has happened in your past, no matter what's going on now, that if you just hold on to his unchanging hand, if you just study the word of God, you too can be delivered. You too can be free. God is a forgiving God, that it's not about man or woman here on earth and what they say against you, because the word of God says if he is for you, whom can be against you? But you have to trust and believe that if you hold on to his unchanging hand, he will set you free. I've been there. I'm still going through things that I struggle with. But believe me, it's the faith. It says faith is the evidence of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen, that you have to reach out beyond your understanding to him. Because many times we rely on everybody but God. We reach out for everything but God. And we have so many things that come at us, but we don't trust in God. And so even I tried many times because I was so confused and didn't know how to go through the attacks. And I tried to drive off a bridge even after all of this, even when I was called to the ministry. I didn't know how to go through it because I was calling upon people that I believed that had my back and who I believed that was anointed and appointed, and they weren't there for me. You have to learn how to call upon your God. You have to learn how to be able to call upon yourself. It says, as I minister to you, I minister to myself. You got to minister to yourself at times. At times, you can't nobody else help you. At times, you have to just lay down before the Lord like never before and just surrender it all unto him when no house is open, when there is no church door open. You have to just lay it all down before the Lord, everything it is. Whatever happened, even if it's pain medication, even if it's alcohol, even if it's cigarette, weeds, or whatever it is that you are doing that is out of order, that's killing you and trying to destroy you, you have to lay it down and let it go. If nothing is meant to be here to kill and steal and rob you of your joy, God created all of us for greater. Not one of us are meant to die or to be destroyed. All of us have good in us, no matter what our past seemed like, no matter what it seemed like right now. God has something greater for every one of us, no matter what somebody spoke in your life, no matter what somebody even in your household was speaking in your life, no matter what whatever seems like even at your job, even if you don't have a job, and even to speak about that, in spite of what I'm going through right now, even right now, I'm being tested right now, just because I'm doing the work of the Lord. Just because I'm able to speak the way I'm speaking right now, because I'm being, this is a test by itself, but I know it's a test. And because I was, everything I went through, now a total of 33 surgeries. I was
my
once,
God.
Just a, yes, it's now 33. I just went through my 33rd surgery at the age of 33 in June, and where I've been having migraines for a whole year. And, I was having migraines for a whole year. I was on 6 medications, and nothing was helping the migraines. It just felt like someone was hitting my head against the wall or whatever. And, you know, it's because of the injury to my brain or whatever, but I never had problems. And to be short with that or whatever, I went to a neurologist and trying to seek help or whatever. And, you know, sometimes we rely on pain medications or whatever. And
right.
You heard my testimony about that. I refuse to go backwards. I refuse to be almost like a dope head or something like that, to be struggling and just to be laid up in the house high. I refuse. I reject that. I reject anything that is trying to pull me down and to be a stronghold over my life. You can speak life over everything. And then, so therefore, you know, I went in the hospital for the 33rd surgery or whatever. I was in there 5 days, and they were just doping me up on this procedure or whatever, because they said many other procedures wasn't going to help because of how hard, you know, when my head hit that sidewalk, my head was bust wide open. I had to have stitches in my head when I was released from the hospital. And my mother said when she came to the hospital, I had a, like, vacuum cleaner-sized tube in my head sucking the stuff out of it, the fluid. And so, you know, just imagine or whatever. And so when I was in the hospital, that was 5 days, and only for that not even to work. Can you imagine that? You know,
God.
Doping me up and for not to help. And then, you know, with the period, and even before that, you know, I was on disability for about eight years or whatever, and all of a sudden they want to cut my disability off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is how, and I know that I have anointing, and I'm speaking this because I know that they like to watch people, but they're watching the very wrong ones. They like to watch the ones that are not abusing the system instead of watching the ones that are abusing the system.
Right.
And so they were really monitoring me. But the thing was, my injury was a TBI, a traumatic brain injury. They're not knowing that, you know, what comes along with that, which is the anxiety, the tension, the depression, and all of that that I go through every single day. But by the blood of Jesus, I plead that over my life in spite of
Amen.
The struggle, in spite of the pain, that I will endure, because it says that you, as James Fortin sings, that you can live through it. The power of life and death lies in between the tongue. I will not allow it to kill me or cause death against me. So I'm going to live through it and press through it. But most importantly,
I just want to jump right on in real quick, because
okay.
You have said so much right here, and I wanted to give you opportunity just to share your heart and to share your testimony, because I believe that those that are listening live, those that will listen in the archives this week, those that will
okay.
listen on our broadcast, those that will listen to this 3 years from now will be changed because of your testimony. And I want to make sure people. Listeners, we may be having a little bit of technical difficulty. Hold the line. We may be having a little bit of technical difficulty. Let's go to a quick commercial break. We'll be at a quick commercial break very quickly, and we'll be right back while we clear up any of these technical difficulties.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Virtual book tours is one of the best ways to get your book noticed by potentially thousands of new readers. BAB Virtual Tours staff will walk you through the process of embarking on a virtual tour for your book, business, music, and or ministry, providing simple but yet effective strategies for getting your product and your message in front of thousands. Sign up for a free consultation, www.latboyd.com.
Are you starting a new business, releasing a CD, writing a new book? Consider Mitchell Productions for your web design services. Visit www.mitchell-productions.com for portfolio samples, specials, and package prices. Remember, a website is not a luxury item. It's a necessity. Check out mitchell-productions.com or find them at facebook.com/mitchellproductions.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for your patience. Miracle Shea, you there with me?
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. Listen, I just believe that people that will hear this will be blessed by your testimony. I just wanted to allow you to share it. I didn't even want to do an interview style. I just wanted you to share your testimony. Do you go around and do you speak at conferences and events sharing your testimony?
Yes, I do.
How can people contact you for that if they want to schedule you to come speak?
They can inbox me on my Facebook page, or they can come, which is Miracle Shay, or they can email me at all lowercase LASHAE.Henry, HENRY, at yahoo.com.
This is going to wrap up today's show. We went over today. Yes, we did go over on today's show, listeners. We thank you so much, all of those that are on the phone lines, those that are in the chat room, that are listening. We thank you so much. Recorded. Other able to share this link with a friend. Again, Miracle Shay, we're excited and glad that you were able to join us today and to share your testimony.
Thank you.
Awesome. All right, listeners, we're going out today. I did promise I would play I Wish by Prophet Marquez. Griffin, and we are playing that out. And thank you so much for joining us here. Visit me online at charvette.com.
Yeah. Jay, turn my mic up. Living with the hurt, feel like I'm gonna drown. Gotta wipe my tears and be strong. My feeling need me now. Yeah, no time for mourning. No time for sadness. Hit a call for the ministry. I feel they sadness. Lord minister, I can't bear this sadness. I never saw a day coming. No running. Don't take life for granted, cause the pain is coming. He brought me the greatest joy. I never thought he would leave and kill my joy. Silence, that's my baby boy. I look in the car seat, sometimes I see my boy. I wish you was here. Your smile, your laugh, wipe away my tears. I wish you was here. Your love, your zeal, wipe away my tears. I wish you was here. Mama still miss you, your sister's here. I wish you was here. My son, Zechariah, I miss you, yeah. I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say, Zechariah, yeah. I miss you today, living a holy life. No, I ain't perfect, thinking that my sins caused this hurting. Mama, she's strong, but I see she hurting. You still in her heart with all this hurting. I hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. When I was losing my mind, he comfort me. The Lord amazing grace ain't punishing me. Jesus hung and died on that tree. God wiped his eyes when his only son died. I feel it because it happened to me. I wish you was here. Your smile, your laugh, wipe away my tears. I wish you was here. Your love, your zeal, wipe away my tears. I wish you was here. Mama still miss you. Your sister's here. I wish you was here. My son, Zechariah, I miss you, yeah. I'm a better man, I thank you for that. I wish my prayers could bring you back. Writing this song is my way of letting go. Let go and let God, that's my motto. Tears today, joy tomorrow. I'm growing in the Lord, can you feel my sorrow? I'm from Monroe, I know you didn't know. When I get to heaven, I'll let you know. I can't lie, Lord, it's so hard to let go. Will I have another son? Let me know. I can't lie, Lord, it's so hard to let go. Will I have another son? Let me know. I wish you was here. Your smile, your laugh, wipe away my tears. I wish you was here. Your love, your zeal, wipe away my tears. I wish you was here. Mama still miss you. Your sister's here. I wish you was here. My son, Zechariah, I miss you, yeah.
Every day I miss you.
I miss you.
Why'd you have to go away? I miss you.
I miss you.
Every day I miss you.
I miss you.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Signing off.